Hamish. The weeds that one of the biggest problems that farmers have in accordance to our questionnaire that goes out, how do BD farmers combat weeds, or what's their attitude to weeds, or what's your attitude to weeds, or what should be a mainstream farmer's attitude to weeds?
Well,
weeds
in our concept are messengers. They're telling you there's something out of balance, and they're there to fix it. You know, I'm a weed and I'm here to help, sort of stuff. You know, and if you just kill the weed and don't fix the problem, you'll get a worse weed. And just to fast forward into something that I think is a bit of cosmic humour, I read the other day that this Roundup Ready canola or whatever, they're now, the nature is providing super weeds. In other words, there are weeds coming through that are so tenacious or tough that they're actually breaking the harvesting machinery. So, you know, we've been very clever in coming up with these genetically modified Roundup Ready crops. But nature is saying, hey guys, you haven't fixed the soil. Hear me. You haven't fixed the soil. So I'm going to fix your machinery until you fix the soil. Yeah? So the way we approach it is if you get your soil right, then the weeds go away pretty well. You know, that's what happens. And a lot of experience about that. Get your biodynamic preparations out, and most of your weed problems will just abate as your soil improves. Now, you can help that process. The first thing we suggest is you can either compost the weeds, or we make what we call a weed tea. So you take the weed in question. It doesn't really matter if you say Patterson's Curse. You put it in a drum of water, you know, so a 200-litre drum or a 20-litre drum, depending on the size of operation. You fill it two-thirds with the weed. You can use the roots a lot. Fill it with water. Put a set of compost preparations in. Let it rot down for a couple of months. And then you've got a weed tea. And you apply that. You dilute it 1 in 40. You're aiming at about a litre to the hectare. And that actually speeds up the process of what the weed has come to do for you, so to speak. So you can actually speed the process up and make the weed redundant by making what we call a weed tea. Another, I was just talking about it yesterday, a friend with fireweed, just mulching it, you know, mowing it or mulching it before it flowers, you know, and it'll rot down into the ground, and it's repairing, it's bringing in what the soil is wanting. So just mulching weeds before they flower is a very good way of speeding the process up too. So that's our basic approach to weeds. We do have another methodology that you can apply if you happen to have a weed that happens to agree, you know, who likes the same conditions as the crop you're growing. That's where you can get a problem. And for that, we have a thing we call peppering. And this is a case of taking the seed of the weed that you don't want, and make sure you only have that seed. This is species specific and site specific. You take the seed, a viable seed of the plant, and you burn it to a black ash at full moon. And then you disperse the ash over the area that you don't want the weed to grow, and that will stunt any germination into the future. And if you keep doing that, you know, 3 or 4 years, you'll find the weed goes away. But you need to be careful. If you haven't fixed the problem, you'll get another problem. And so one guy had thistles, wall-to-wall thistles. He gathered up, had great bonfires of thistles, and he scattered the ash out all over his land, and next season, great success, no thistles. He then found he had a copper deficiency. So he had to actually go next door, get some thistles, make a thistle tea, and put that out over his land to deal with the copper deficiency. So if you start to use the peppering like you would think of poison, then you're a bit on the wrong track, in my view, unless, as I say, you've got something that's growing in exactly the same soil conditions that your crop is. Then peppering, I think, is appropriate. But it is a tool in the toolbox, and that's an aspect of bionomics that a lot more research has to happen. I know from my own experience, I've had 100% success and I've had no success. So, the important thing on that is to keep records of what you're doing, and then we can try and sort of see why things do or don't work. But basically, full moon, burn to black ash, you can make it into a homeopathic remedy, at a D6. If you don't know about homeopathy, most country towns now have a homeopath. You just go and talk it through with them and they'll put you right. So that's basically weeds and...
Hang on.
Yeah, and I just have to say that it is a big scare campaign. I mean, people are genuinely worried about weeds. And all I can say is over the last 5 or 6 years, somehow there's less and less tension about weeds in the biodynamic movement. It seems to be fairly well agreed or experienced that if you just get your soil right, most of your weed problems will go. A similar thing happens with insects and, you know, pests. They are there to destroy whatever shouldn't go forward. And only about 65% of all plant, you know, propagation or fertilization seeds going forward should actually grow to maturity and produce seeds, because there's about 35% that aren't going to make it. So insects and pests and predators are really, their job is to take out anything that's unhealthy so it doesn't actually propagate. And one of the problems we have now is that we've, in both plants and animals, we've bred from stock that we shouldn't have bred from. And so we're getting increasing numbers of plants and animals that actually are weak structurally, so to speak. And then we have to use lots of herbicides or drenches or what have you to keep them kicking. And that's really counterproductive, because all we're doing is creating problems into the future. If you've got any animals that don't perform, you know, they calve badly or they something, better get them into the abattoir or put them in a compost heap than to keep trying to medicate them. You'll only breed greater problems into the future. It's sort of tough love, but that's how nature works. If you watch these nature programs on the television, it's fascinating watching which animal the predators will actually go for. And usually, if it's researched, they've gone for the weakest one in the team, so to speak, because they're always trying to comb and take out the weak ones. With plants, it's the same. Insects will attack anything that's weak. So with biodynamics, our whole approach is giving every plant and animal optimum opportunity to be strong. But nature won't make them all strong, so we actually have to be a bit astute in our breeding and management to make sure we don't breed ourselves into problems, which is a lot of where we're at the moment. There's a lot of plant types, you know, varieties of wheat or what have you, that really aren't gonna last very long, because they're too drugged up, so to speak. And you know, this is gonna breed problems into the future. So if you can step back a bit from some of the most sort of highly hyped breeds of things and go back to a more secure one and grow them on biodynamically, etc., then I think that's a safer way to go. Just when I was in the wool game, Dr. Helen Newton-Turner did some experiments with sheep, and they locked up all the rams and then let the ewes select their ram. And in nearly every case, they selected back to a strong average or median. They didn't breed for the specialist end. And so humanity comes in and breeds for, you know, maximum tonnage or the maximum wool weight or wheat meat weight or what have you. And we breed these rather susceptible thoroughbred type animals that when times get tough, they're not necessarily the ones that are going to survive. So that's a bit of a mindset we have to revisit. But basically
Hamish, we're going to run out of time because we'd like to keep this to an hour or so. Briefly, would you like to sum up the whole thing? But I'd like to say one thing too, is that when you look at a plant consists pretty close to 100%, like well over 90% of materials that originated from the cosmos. And I think if farmers appreciate that point, then, you know, you appreciate biodynamics more. That's just a little one I like throwing in. Now, Hamish, would you like to sort of sum up what you, hey, whatever you want to sum up?
Okay, well, look, that's a very good summary, because this is one of the major problems science has is they won't talk about things they can't explain. And so what Hugo's just said about, I think it's 85 or 90% of what we are physically doesn't arrive in us by going down our throat. It comes in through our eyes, hair, ears, skin, lungs. So science knows that. They know that every cell in your body changes every 7 years. They know that the salt that you eat is in every cell of your body within a minute. They know all of these things, but they don't teach it, in my belief, because they can't explain it. And that's why biodynamics is so difficult. So that's why the real issue is just to start. There's plenty of people around who can talk you through whatever your worry points are. You can access the preparations, via my website or a number of biodynamic associations around the country. And the most important thing is to start. And you don't need to go cold turkey. Some people just do, a paddock or a couple of paddocks and just see how it goes. But it's only going to happen when you start and you get the experience of it happening rather than trying to get your head around everything. That's just, for some people, too big an ask, but their observations of it is quite phenomenal. And the other thing to look for is the taste of the end product. If you want to convince yourself, go look for some well-grown biodynamic produce and have a taste, and that should be the measure of what it's about. But I do believe we can fix Australia's soils. We can go from, -7 to +5. Water, 2% organic matter in the top foot will hold an Olympic swimming pool every 10 hectares. That'll hold it. If we go deeper than a foot, we're holding more. We can clean up the atmosphere. 10% of the world's agricultural land farmed carbon efficiently will soak up all the excess carbon in the atmosphere. And human health. It's human health. People are worried about population growth. I'm one of those people. I can't justify it, but my gut feeling goes with those who are saying by the end of the century, there'll be, 1.5 billion people left on the earth, because I think a lot of people are going to die of physical malfunction. We haven't actually given our children the food they need to build the bodies they need to survive into old age. I think my mother's 92 and I'm 62, and somewhere between us is peak age, and I think the world population is going to go through some very interesting times in this next century. So good food is going to be incredibly sought after, if not tomorrow, it'll be in 5 or 10 years' time. So those who are developing the skills now will become very important players into the future.
On that note, Hamish, I'd like to thank you very, very much on behalf of you know, all our Farming Secrets members and anyone else who gets hold of this CD. It will be in CD form. And I'd also like to thank the members who were online and the members who will be listening to this as they go, as they, you know, travel in the utes and tractors and that sort of thing. So, Hamish, that I'd like to say goodbye, but anything else you'd like to say before you go?
Oh, no, just to thank you. And as I say, I can be contacted via the website and very happy to talk through or help anyone with whatever they need because, you know, we've got an interesting political situation in Australia right now. And I think there are lots of things that can be happening in the next 3 years that could be pretty exciting. So Bionomics is one of them. Thank you.
And we will publicise your website, but you might as well say what your website is now.
Oh, it's Bionomics2024.com.au. And the 2024 has long been my objective that Bionomics or this approach to farming will be the farming method of choice in Australia by 2024. Which is 100 years after Rudolf Steiner gave the agriculture in 1924. And the way I see it at the moment, we're pretty insignificant in numbers, but I'm still confident by 2024 this will be it will be the farming method of choice in Australia. You know, most people will be wanting to do this. Not everyone will take it up, but it's going to be a serious option.
I think so too. Hamish, well, goodbye from me, sir, and
thank you.
And everyone else who's online.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.